I'd like to refer to one or two scriptures. The first is in the First Epistle of Timothy. The First Epistle of Timothy, chapter 1. And I want to read from verse 13. Appointing to ministry him who was before was a blasphemer and persecutor, an insolent, overbearing man, but mercy was shown me, because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. But the grace of our Lord surpassingly overabounded with faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. Faithful is the word, and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am first. Now I want to return to the Epistle to the Romans. I want to read from chapter 3 and verse 21. But now, without law, righteousness of God is manifested, borne witness to by the law and the prophets. Righteousness of God by faith of Jesus Christ, towards all and upon all those who believe. For there is no difference. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption which is in Christ Jesus, whom God has set forth a mercy seat through faith in his blood. For the showing forth of his righteousness in respect of the passing by the sins that had taken place before, through the forbearance of God, for the showing forth of his righteousness in the present time, so that he should be just and justify him that is of the faith of Jesus. The same epistle in chapter 9, and reading from verse 19. Thou wilt say to me then, why does he yet find fault? For who resists his purpose? Ay, but thou, O man, who art thou that answerest again to God? Shall the thing formed say to him that has formed it, why hast thou made me thus? Or has not the potter authority over the clay, out of the same lump, to make one vessel to honour, and another to dishonour? And if God minded to show his wrath and to make his power known, endured with much long suffering, vessels of wrath fitted for destruction, and that he might make known the riches of his glory upon vessels of mercy, which he had before prepared for glory, us, whom he has also called, not only from amongst the Jews, but also from amongst the nations. And finally, in Peter's first epistle, at chapter 2, and verse 9, but ye are a chosen race, a kingly priesthood, a holy nation, a people for a possession, that ye might set forth the excellencies of him who has called you out of darkness to his wonderful light, who once were not a people, but now God's people, who were not enjoying mercy, but now have found mercy. And those few words, what I want to preach about, have found mercy. It's a wonderful subject, dear friend. Because what I want to tell you in the gospel tonight is that God is dispensing mercy. Do you know anything so wonderful as the sense of mercy in your soul? You say, tell me more about it, and I'll try to, with God's help. I'll try to tell you the story of Jesus and his precious love. We sometimes say, tell me the old, old story of Jesus and his love. Tell me the story slowly, that I may take it in. God's wonderful redemption, God's remedy for sin. Dear friend, I hope you'll take it in tonight. I'll be as simple as I can. But I want to tell you that God is dispensing mercy. What does mercy mean? Well, you see, it's like this. We are all sinners. We are all sinners. The scripture says there is no difference. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And there's not one righteous, not even one. So you see, we're all together simply in the presence of God tonight as needing the remedy for sin and sins. Now the scripture tells us too that God has shut up all in unbelief that he might have mercy on all. Now if we've been born in sin and shapen in iniquity as we have been, and without God and without hope in the world, doomed to die because of our sins, what is the remedy? You know, sometimes you'll speak to somebody in the course of your work, and you'll get to that point, and they say, what is the remedy? You might say that tonight. What is the remedy that I might be saved? What is the guarantee of my salvation? You know, men speak in the world of being a guarantor, don't they? Being shorty for somebody else. But you know, I like to look away to Calvary's cross. And I see there a blessed, glorious man. And his name is Jesus. And I see Jesus there, the holy, spotless victim, made sin for me. He who knew not sin was made sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God. Did Jesus take my place on Calvary's cross? You begin to realize the wonderful truth of redemption. That Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. And Paul says, of whom I am the first. I want to come to the Apostle Paul in a moment. But look at this picture tonight. And dear friend, don't let it even just be a picture on the wall. Realize that that blessed and glorious man was the Lord Jesus, the Creator God, the Savior of the world. I love to speak of him. He's my Savior. And I hope before this gospel preaching is over, you will be able to say with us, he's my Savior too. See him there. Witness the holy sufferings of the Lord Jesus. If ever there was a right for a man to live, and I speak most reverently, it was Jesus. There was never any sin attached to Jesus. He was holy in every detail of that precious life. Spotless before the eye of God. But if you, dear friend, and I were to know the love of God, it necessitated the Lord Jesus dying on Calvary's tree for my sins. Now I hope I can say to you tonight, and you'll be able to say, and for my sins too. See him there, the holy, spotless victim, made sin for me. What was my lot? Doomed to die. Without God and without hope of the world. What a terrible calamity the world is in tonight, isn't it? Without God and without hope in the world, would you want to be amongst people like that? I wouldn't. I wouldn't like to be in the shoes of anybody who rejected the overtures of divine grace, would you? And there, the Lord Jesus is lifted up, is nailed to a cross. A centurion pierced his side, and forthwith came their blood and water. The centurion standing by says, truly, this man was Son of God. And there was darkness over the whole land. 3 hours of darkness when Jesus was made sin because of me and because of you. No human eye could witness the holy sufferings of Jesus. When the moment of the Lord crying, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? It says in the word of God that he called, and there was none to answer. Jesus was forsaken of God. God's wrath and Satan's power, and I speak carefully, the prince of this world, Satan, and blessed be the name of the Lord Jesus. He sustained it all. Glorious Savior. And there he died for me. The just one for the unjust. To bring us to God. Do you believe the gospel? Do you believe that the Lord Jesus died on Calvary's cross? Do you believe he died for you? Do you realize that tonight, dear one, that you need a precious Savior to save you? And do you realize that even coming into this room tonight isn't by chance? We've prayed about this occasion tonight that the Lord will come in and bless him. And he's able to save to the uttermost all that come unto him. The Lord Jesus cried with a loud voice, "It is finished," and delivered up his spirit. Loving hands took that precious Savior down and buried him in a newly hewn tomb. Was that the end? Men like to think it's the end. But glorious theme of the gospel is, Jesus is risen. Death could not hold Jesus. He was crucified for me, the Lord of glory. He bore my sins in his own body on the tree. He was buried. He was raised again the third day, according to the scriptures. And you say to me tonight, you may say inquiringly, how do you know that Jesus is alive tonight? And I know the simple reality in my soul because the Holy Spirit is here. When Jesus went back to glory, the Holy Spirit came down. And he's been here ever since, indwelling those who love the Lord Jesus in sincerity and truth. Now, dear friend, can you see what I'm trying to get at tonight? Your lot and mine was nothing but disaster. But the Lord Jesus has intervened in my life and given me to know his saving grace and his saving power. And I know that Jesus died for me. I know that. And there was somebody else that knew it too, and I read about him tonight. A man who was an insolent, overbearing man. A persecutor of those who loved Christ when he was here. What does he say? But mercy was shown me. I love that. Mercy was shown me. And dear friend, quite simply, and from my heart, I can say too that mercy was shown me. And I look around on this little company tonight, and I can see by their faces that they can say the same. Mercy was shown them. I did it ignorantly, in unbelief. But the grace of our Lord, surpassingly overabounded with faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. Faithful is the word, and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Now, isn't that a wonderful story for your ears tonight? That Christ Jesus came into the world save sinners. And the Paul would say, and more than that, of whom I am the first. He was prepared to be classed as the greatest of sinners. But what he can say, mercy was shown me. And dear friend, that's the reason I'm standing here tonight. Because simply I can say to you that mercy was shown me. I was a guilty sinner. I needed a Savior, and I found the Lord Jesus as my own personal Savior, and I can put my faith and trust in the finished work of Jesus and in his precious blood. The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses. from every sin. The scripture says too, who can bring an accusation against God's elect? It is God who justifies. The enemy of our souls comes along. He points the finger and he might say to you tonight, you're a sinner. You say, I was a sinner. But I've been saved by mercy and grace. I can point to the atoning blood tonight and say, this made my peace with God. Can you say that, dear friend, from your heart tonight? That the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses from every sin? Faithful is the word and worthy of all acceptation that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. That's why he came. And tonight, God is dispensing mercy. Jesus is risen. We wouldn't be preaching the gospel tonight if Jesus wasn't risen. We know he's at the right hand of God. He's sitting on the Father's throne tonight as a prince and a savior. Wonderful news, isn't it? You know, it's like news from a far country, isn't it? It sounds like music in my ears. The sweetest name on earth. The name of Jesus. Dear friend, I would like, with all my heart, to bring you to the Savior tonight. To realize that you, too, can have a transaction with him. And to know him as your own personal Savior. Where we read in our second scripture, it says there is no difference. Romans 3, then it goes on to say, there is no difference, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So you see, there we are. And then it goes on to say, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption which is in Christ Jesus, whom God has set forth a mercy seat through faith in his blood. It's God, as it were tonight, setting forth a mercy seat. The mercy seat was overlaid with pure gold. And on the mercy seat was the blood of the victim. The blood of Jesus. The cherubims looking inward on the holiness and perfection of the blood of Jesus. Dear friend, what a scene to contemplate, isn't it? And God is setting forth Jesus tonight as a mercy seat through faith in his blood. Could it be simpler? It's coming right near to you now as you sit there. God is saying to you, I'm presenting one glorious man for the acceptance of faith, whom God has set forth a mercy seat through faith in his blood. For the showing forth of his righteousness in respect of the passing by the sins that had taken place before, through the forbearance of God, for the showing forth of his righteousness in the present time, so that he should be just, and justify him that is of the faith of Jesus. Jesus is risen. And the believer who has put his faith and trust in the Lord Jesus knows that Jesus is risen, and he's there at the right hand of God to justify me. He's been raised again for my justification. Is anyone condemning now? No one can condemn us. The scripture says, if your heart condemn you, he is greater than your heart, and he knows all things. He knows what's going on in your heart, dear friend, now, as you sit there. He knows what's passing through your mind. You might say, yes, I've heard the gospel many times. One day, I'll give my heart to the Lord. But what about doing it tonight? There may not be another opportunity. Now is the acceptable time, and now is the day of salvation. Many people have put off having to do with the Lord about their sins until it's been too late. Just seize the wonderful opportunity now and accept the Lord Jesus Christ into your heart, into your life, and know him as your own personal Savior. This blessed man, the servant, the Apostle Paul, could say, amongst other things, the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Can you say that? Can you say that from your heart tonight as you sit there? Yes, Jesus gave himself for me. Like Job could say, I know that my Redeemer liveth. One thing he knew in his long experience, and dear friend, if we can say that tonight, what a wonderful joy it will be in our hearts that we know the Lord Jesus as our Savior. I feel the responsibility of delivering the message of salvation. I trust there will be nobody in doubt as to their eternal blessing and welfare. You see, it's all too simple. It's profound. The poorest, the cleverest, the richest, they all need a Savior. You know, you speak to the great men of the world and they've got no time. There was a brother amongst us that used to preach the gospel well, and his colleagues used to say, I don't understand you giving your mind to these things, clever man like you are. So there's one difference. I'm never asked to believe the gospel with my mind. I'm asked to believe the gospel with my heart. And that makes all the difference. If thou wilt believe in thine heart that God has raised him from among the dead, thou shalt be saved. And there's the certainty of the promise of God himself. If you, dear friend, tonight, in your simplicity, come to know the Lord Jesus, you'll have a joy in your heart that no one will take from you. You'll have something in your soul that you'll go away rejoicing. Thousands have fled to his spear-pierced side, and welcome they all have been. None are denied. Would you like to be amongst them tonight? Thank God's wonderful grace and wonderful mercy. Mercy, you see, I do not get what I deserve. Wonderful thing. I do not get what I deserve. Mercy was shown me. Grace, I get what I do not deserve. That's the magnitude of the heart of the love of Christ in my soul. Oh, what a Savior is Jesus the Lord. Don't you find your heart being warmed to him, beloved? As we sit here tonight, don't you find the Spirit of God is urging us to appreciate in a fresh way the glories of this heavenly man? He's at the right hand tonight, justifying him who is of the faith of Jesus. Let this work go on. I believe it's going on. May there be a fruit to God today from the hearts of it all. I read in chapter 9, because it says, Thou wilt say to me then, why does he yet find fault, or who resists his purpose? But thou, O man, who art thou that answers again to God? Shall the thing formed say to him that formed it, why hast thou made me thus? We've been hearing over this weekend, you know, that he made a vessel, and it was marred. You see? It was marred. Sin had come in. And that's why the vessel is marred. That's why we need a Saviour, you see. You're a vessel, and I'm a vessel. I've been formed by Jesus. He's my creator. How can I explain it simply? The story comes to my mind, you know, of a little boy. I bet you've heard it many, many times, but I'll tell you it again. The little boy who made a boat. He put a lot of detail in it. And in his eyes, it was perfect. And so one day, he thought he'd sell this little boat on the water. And he lost it. Couldn't find it. Entirely disappeared. And one day, in the shop, to his amazement, he saw the very boat that he lost there in the shop window. And there was a price on it. And if he was to have that little boat for himself, he must pay the price. He goes in, and he pays the price for that little boat that he had made. He looked at it, and he said to himself, just think, I made you. And now I've brought you back to me. You're doubly mine. Isn't that wonderful grace? It's like the gospel. God made you. He is your creator. Sin has come in, and we've been lost without God and without hope in the world. Jesus has come in, and he's paid the penalty of sin, the precious blood of Jesus. And God would say tonight, you know, I'm going to buy you through the redemptive work of Jesus, and you're going to be doubly mine. Wouldn't you like to be doubly his tonight? Wouldn't you like to feel that the power of the Lord was going to make you a person, make you a vessel? You don't start answering back to God, do you? No, you realize that God made you. And now he's brought you back. And he says, you're mine by creation, and you're mine by redemption. You're doubly his. And so, it's just like the story that we're reading about here. Why hast thou made me thus? Or has not the potter authority over the clay, out of the same lump to make one vessel to honor and another to dishonor? And if God minded to show his wrath and to make his power known, endured with much long-suffering vessels of wrath fitted for destruction, that he might make known the riches of his glory upon vessels of mercy. Isn't that grand? A vessel of mercy. And if you've got the work of the Lord Jesus in your heart tonight, you are a vessel of mercy. I hope you understand that. Before God, the Lord Jesus in his grace has made you again, and he's made you fit for his presence. He's formed you. He's your redeemer. You, dear friend, tonight can appreciate the wonderful saving grace of the Lord Jesus. It says, vessels of mercy which he had before prepared for glory, us, another, us. Blessed truth, isn't it? That we've come to know this precious and glorious Savior. Well, it can be yours tonight. You accept the Lord Jesus now as your own Savior and Lord. I just read in the Peter's epistle, it says, speaks about persons who were not enjoying mercy, but now have found. Dear friend, before we close, you may not have been enjoying mercy when you came to this room. But I trust that tonight you will have found mercy. You will have found the Lord Jesus. like the dear woman in John 4, she found him. She found him. She could say, come see a man who had told me all things I'd ever done. Is not he the Christ? And then that blessed testimony got out, didn't it? It was not only on account of a woman, the people said, we've heard him ourselves, and we know that he's the Saviour of the world. Dear friend, I hope tonight you can say that too. I've heard him myself, and I know he's the Saviour of the world. So here we are, in the presence of God. I've delivered my message, and I hope that somebody in this room will give the blessing. We would combine in earnest prayer now that someone in this little company may come to know the Lord Jesus for the first time in their life. Come into my heart. Come into stay. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus. You say that tonight, dear friend, in sincerity, and Jesus will come into your heart. Repentance towards God and faith towards our Lord Jesus Christ. The way is there. It couldn't be plainer. It couldn't be simpler. Why not give your heart to the Lord now? Why not just accept the free offer of grace? Down at the feet of the Lord, take your place. And just say, Lord Jesus, come into my heart now. And you'll have the wonderful joy and peace in believing in his finished work. Dear friend, I close with an appeal. Do not be negligent of so great salvation. Don't trifle with the things of God. If you feel the Lord is speaking to you, you answer tonight to the overtures of his grace. Don't let another Lord's Day go by, but that you show just where you are, that you too are a person trusting in the blood of Jesus. And you can say, like all of us can say, through grace, I'm saved for time and for eternity. May it be the portion of our hearts.